It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening or watching Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being stuck in the middle seat on a COVID flight. You can join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davincomedy.com, click live broadcast, or you can watch us live as it's happening or on replay on Facebook on the Davin's Den page. Yes, this is happening live right now via Zoom. Hopefully, our beloved Pip Helix will be manning the chat. I know we've been a little lax past month or so hopefully Pip can get us back on course. The audio, if you're having issues with the audio on Facebook, is better on davincomedy.com, so you can always turn down the volume on your computer. And or no, that wouldn't work, but you could just listen to us. I don't know how that would work. Probably wouldn't be in sync. Anyway, I'm your host, Davin Rosemont. I'm joined in his home studio by Joe Curry. Hello, Joe.
Hello, how are you doing?
I am fantastic, thank you. And the one and only Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Everybody.
Hi, Pip. On the show, comics in the news, as Wild and Out's Nick Cannon is out of at least one job. A senator wants airlines to stop selling middle seats during COVID-19. Ohio sheriff won't enforce the governor's mask order. School of Fools, did Marquette almost rescind a freshman's admission over her support for Donald Trump? Nazi news, as a Miss Hitler contestant gets in trouble with the law. I hate when that happens. And scamming scammers, we'll do that with Carolyn Fuchs. So we were just talking, I guess it's a little bit of a pre-show, but you know, we always go on Facebook Live a few minutes before the show, and we really didn't catch the president's return to coronavirus press conferences, the much-anticipated, the sequel to Bleachgate, he's back, baby. And I guess there wasn't much outrageous stuff there. He did say masks are effective, which is nice. I'm glad, you know, 6 months into the pandemic, he's going to sell that one, but I guess better late than never. I feel bad for all the Trump you know, what are all the Trump supporters? Not Joe. Joe's not in this class, thank God. Otherwise, there'd be a lot more arguing on this show.
But oh, my God, yeah.
What's going to happen for all these Trump supporters that have been all over the place saying, masks don't work? I saw it on the YouTubes. Masks don't work. But now our dear leader, our Lord and Savior, El Presidente, Donald Trump, says masks work. So maybe all of a sudden they did work. Maybe just today they started working. Maybe he fixed the bad mask problem. I don't know. That's not really our concern. I can't fix stupid. I try. You can't fix stupid, but it will die eventually. That's what I go with. But we were talking about the one oopsie-daisy. And again, I didn't watch the press conference. I was busy doing stuff. But I did catch a little bit of the highlights. And apparently, Ghislaine Maxwell, who's Jeffrey Epstein's go-to to get him all the women. Because he was a man of means, and he can't be getting himself women, the girls. He's a man of means. He can't be getting the girls himself. So Ghislaine Maxwell, that was her job. She would procure the ladies, groom them, and then Epstein and his pals, whoever those pals are, you can take your own guesses, would have their way and rape these young women. So I guess Donald Trump was asked about Ghislaine Maxwell, who's in custody, and Donald Trump wish Ghislaine Maxwell well. Wish all the best. All the best for the president. And as I told that to Joe in the pre-show, Joe just started shaking his head because he knows. He knows that's an awful thing. And he just goes, okay, why would you do that?
How can I defend that?
I'm not asking you to. I'm not asking you to.
How can I even say to defend that?
Joe, I'm not asking. Joe, there are times when I go, aha, I want to see Joe defend this. I'm not asking you to defend that. It just goes to my point. He's friggin' lost. It's over. And I believe he, because he knows her. He knew Ghislaine Maxwell. He knew Epstein. And we've talked about this before. People want to say, Bill Clinton probably did stuff with Epstein and the girls. Yeah, I never denied that. And I'm pretty willing to bet Donald Trump did too. Because it's not like Donald Trump has high moral standards and wouldn't do stuff like that. He was hanging out with Epstein all the time. They were thick as thieves too. And listen, wishing Ghislaine Maxwell well doesn't mean Donald Trump did anything illegal or raped any women, but there are a lot of allegations. There's like 20-some allegations of rape and sexual assault, and this criminal.
How was it brought up?
I don't know. I didn't see it. No matter how you get there, you can't wish her well, especially all the awful things.
Right. I'm just curious where, because there's like no way that.
Wishing her well, if you're going to bring her up at all, could you think of a more neutral statement?
Honestly, right? if I'm him, the politically correct get the hell out of their situation. Go, listen, I'm not following the case. I'm sure justice will be done. And that's all I have to say about that. That would have been the expedient thing to do, but that's not this guy. This guy tells it like it is. And this guy who says horrible things about Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton, people who have served this country, has nothing nice to say about them. He wishes Ghislaine Maxwell well. So,
what does she do? Besides find the young women's.
I don't know, but she's very rich, so apparently there's a lot of money in that, I guess. Oh, I froze. Yeah. How weird.
Yeah, well, there is.
She came from a very well-to-do family. I think her father was one of the publishers of the New York Post years ago. And then she lived in England, and then she wanted to get into the social circles of New York. And she flew in when she was in her 20s, met up with Jeffrey Epstein. I think they were lovers for a little bit, and then they became friends. And then confidants, and then she started assisting him on getting these girls, and that's how she got in with this whole thing. So I wouldn't wish her well.
I wish you confess, and then I wish you death. That's what I wish you. I don't wish you well, you horrible human being.
No.
I hope you fail in your suicide attempt. That's what I hope.
If you want to be political, they ask me, the allegations I hope are not true, but we need justice to take its course, and we'll see what happens.
That would have been fine.
Yeah,
that's not what we got.
You still want to call a little flack for that. Well, you're defending. No. I'm just saying. But when you wish her well,
could have been worse. Could have been like, she's got a great ass. I mean, he could have said that.
And you know what? No one would have been surprised.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, folks, she can really suck a dick. I mean, that would have been better than wishing well.
That even would not scandalize people.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, maybe she did back in the day. Yeah. Maybe she does have a nice day. I'll give him that, but no, she's wishing well.
So even when it's a fairly non-eventful coronavirus press conference, he steps in it as only he can. But, what are you going to do? Listen, at least he did well on the dementia test. He'll tell anybody that asks, he was able to identify all the animals. So he's got that going for him.
I don't think Biden could pick a giraffe out.
Biden can pick a giraffe, my friend. He knows the one with the long neck. He knows. Don't you besmirch the vice president.
Trump knew the one with the elephant because it's the GOP symbol. The elephant right away.
Basically, our presidential election has come down to a game of Old McDonald's Farm. That's where we are in our election. With a quack quack here and a quack quack there. Here a quack, there a quack, everywhere a quack. Ooh, ducky. I mean, that's where we are. That's where this fucking country.
On this farm, they had COVID. E-I-E-I-O.
With a denier here and a denier there. Here, denier, there, denier, everywhere, denier, denier.
It wasn't any worse.
here, mask, not there, mask, baby, mask.
It's just a case of the sniffles here.
I don't know if you guys caught this on my Facebook page, but I posted because a lot of these businesses like Walmart, CVS, Publix, which is a big supermarket in the South, because a lot of these states don't have mandates for masks, they're now making you want to come into our store, you have to wear a mask. That's what they're doing, which they're allowed to do. And I just put up there, I go, well, I hope they hire armed security, because how many videos do we have to see of minimum wage teenagers being harassed by these people? I mean, listen, these supermarket people, they've suffered enough, man. While we were home sheltering in place, they still had to go. They still went to work and, you know, made sure we had food to buy and everything. So, you would think that would be a fairly non-confrontational position to have. Let's hire some security guards so the 16-year-old girl or boy doesn't have to confront these people and put themselves in danger and be subjected to verbal or physical abuse. Let's have some trained professionals there. You know, a lot of retired police work security. A lot of off-duty police work security. Somebody brought up on my page, why not get these bouncers that are out of work to do it? That's a great idea. They're out of work. They certainly look physically intimidating. You know, scum of the earth, which is what a lot of these people are that attack these people that are just trying to keep everybody safe. They're going to go after a skinny 16-year-old girl. You put a mountain of a man bouncer there. You know what? They're going to turn around and wear the mask. But anyway. So apparently this is very, very controversial to some people because my personal freedom. My personal freedom. I'm a libertarian. My personal freedom. But people don't understand, in our country, your personal freedom only goes so far. And they don't, you know, the same people that law and order, they don't like the law and order when it's not the laws and order that they want. So they're like, no, you know, you can't discriminate against them if I can't wear a mask because of physical disabilities. And the person who's telling me this, one of the people who's telling me this, happens to be a nurse in a private doctor's office who has to wear a mask during the day. So don't tell me. I'm like, well, then tell it to your boss. And then my buddy Cal Verducci put out on his page with the mask thing. He's like, all right, if you can't wear a mask because of medical reasons, put on a shield. Fucking A. A shield does not affect asthma. A shield does not affect your breathing. And you can get one for about $8. You can get a shield for about $8. Also, I put on that, well, if they won't let you in the store, you have curbside, you have delivery, you can shop someplace else. There are other options. They do not have a duty to jeopardize other people. They, you know, and then they're like, yeah, but, you know, it's discrimination against the handicapped. Like, you could have, you have to build a ramp. I go, yes, because paralysis is not contagious. I can't give you my legs don't work.
Well, even people whose legs don't work, they still can wear a mask.
No, but they were talking about how this is discrimination.
What parts, out of curiosity, what parts of the country is this? It's not here.
One lives in Florida, one lives in Michigan.
Okay.
But no.
You know what? You get people that are trying to get used to this. I mean, I went to go to the pool on Sunday. I wanted to go in, and it opens up at 11, so I got there at 11:15, and the girl goes, I go, the pool's closed. And she goes, because they have to have the Board of Health come by and just make sure everything's okay. She goes, yeah, the Board of Health didn't show up yet. And I'm like, oh, well, all right, okay, thank you. If I was an asshole, I could yell, that's bullshit, but well, it's not her fault. She didn't make the rules. And I felt bad for her because it was hot. She has to sit there, you know, under the umbrella. But it was a 90-degree day. Wait for the Board of Health to come. She can't even go into the pool to cool off. It is, you know, it is what it is. But we've been conditioned to this since March. So here, you know, it's like it is what it is. We'll deal
with it. But these people are selfish. That's what it comes down to. So I get called a communist. So then I point out, so I did a little research, as I want to do if I finally get fucking fed up with it. And I did some research, and the government has wide rights when there's like a medical emergency. So for instance, they don't have to let you inside a government building. But we're talking about private businesses. But now a business can say no shirt, no shoes, no service. They can say you have to wear a sport coat to get in here. They just can't discriminate against a protected class. But
right. In
this case, we're talking about a pandemic. So basically, this has never been taken to court. Nobody's ever sued Walmart for not letting them in because they can't wear a mask. That hasn't happened yet. But I showed all these cases, and you know, all these lawyers were speculating, and basically they feel that the business should definitely document everything that goes on if they're confronted with this, should try to accommodate the person. They can't ask what their disability is, but they should try to make certain accommodations. We can shop for it for you. Can you wear this? Can you wear that? But basically, the feeling is the business is on pretty firm legal ground because they don't have to jeopardize themselves and other people who work there. So basically, you have personal freedom until your freedom infringes upon me, which is essentially how our society works. But unfortunately, for these libertarians or people that just don't comprehend it, me posting all this stuff makes me an asshole who doesn't understand this country. I'm like, listen, guys, find the court cases that say otherwise. I did the research. I'd love to read it. This has not been taken to court. And I told the girl who was arguing with me, I go, take it to court. You have that opportunity. Try to go to Publix. Say you can't wear a mask. Take it to court. See what happens. It hasn't
but
been.
The thing about it is, it's in the interest of public safety.
They don't care, Joe. They don't care.
But you want to know something? Either you wear a mask or you don't shop. Either everybody that comes in wears a mask, but the store isn't open. You know, I mean, if a friend of my aunt's sister is Anthony Kimmy's is in retail. She's opening up. She opened back up about five of their stores that are freestanding. They're not in malls. And everybody's got to wear a mask. Everybody's got to come in. They got to do this. If this is what we got to do for the time being.
But Joe, here's the difference. In our state, where Anthony's sister lives, where we all live, you have to wear a mask if you can't social distance. That's the law. We're talking about states where the governors have not made that law. So now the businesses are doing that.
But it's their store. They have the right to refuse service.
I agree with you.
So it's a matter of the store. If somebody goes, well, that's on America. Then you don't shop there. This is part of the deal to shop there.
Well, this particular argument was, you know, I can't wear a mask because I have a disability, so you're discriminating against me. That's what this particular argument was. And I tried to explain to them, and then they get mad at me. Like, oh, I'm tired of reading this, you don't understand. I'm like, I got the cases on my side. I got the lawyers that are saying this. I'm like,
and the funny thing is about having a disability, what are you, a fucking elephant? You got a trunk now, yet it's not going to fit over? Like I said, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just,
asthma.
What disability do you have?
Well, this person was full of shit. I mean, she might have it, but she wears it at work. But, you know, if you have a respiratory issue, if you had like emphysema or autism,
this. Wearing a mask anyway.
I listen, man. Autism. Asthma, you know, these are things. But again, there's workarounds. There's workarounds. Yeah. And Cal was right. Wear a shield. If you don't want to wear a mask, wear a shield. It's not right on your face. It doesn't restrict your breathing, but it protects people and it protects you.
Right.
I just can't.
Well, believe me, if you don't want to wear a mask, you're not wearing a fucking shield.
Actually, you know what? A shield isn't bad.
No.
It's
because it's off the nose. It's like in front of you.
It's a little bit.
I saw a lady in the supermarket wearing a mask and a shield, and I was like, "Hey, you know what? Do what you do. You at least you're covered."
No, I mean, listen.
Sometimes they're getting a little bit. You know, I noticed they're getting a little bit more acclimated to getting you in and out of. So there's a supermarket that I go to called Best Market. They sell fruit and vegetables and other stuff. I go buy apples for the deer because they're cheaper there. So I go in, and it used to be you have to go way past the cashiers, and you'd have to stand in a line and wait for a cashier. And there would be somebody there, there'd be somebody there to call you to go to the line.
My supermarket does that.
Run well, but you go in there now, and they set it up where they don't have that long line, and you could go up to the cashier. You have the social distance and whatever, and it's a little bit more convenient. It's like, all right, well, they're trying, they're trying to make it a little bit easier. I mean, there are times that I go in, I have to put my mask on, and I'm like, I think this is a fucking farce, whatever, blah, 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 blah. I have my moments. But I put the mask on, I deal with it, I don't make a scene. If I'm walking to the store and I don't have my mask, I'm like, ah, shit, I have to go back to the car and put it on. It's just the way it is. The only time I'm going to be complaining about a mask is if the curve has been flattened for about 2.5 months. And we're still wearing them.
New York has pretty much done that, and we're going to be wearing it because we don't have successful treatments and we don't have a vaccine. So it's basically all we can do. That's why New York got it down. That's why Europe got it down. That's why Asia got it down. We can't go to the fucking Bahamas right now. Listen, man, you guys know I work at the Bahamas pretty much every year. I've been doing it for years. Beautiful country, great people. They rely on American tourism. That's how the Bahamas makes their money. They don't want us now. We're that country that nobody wants because we got too many stupid and selfish people running around. If everybody would have done what New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut did, we'd be way ahead of shit. Our economy, we would be open. You know, we could go to things socially distant. It wouldn't be like it was before. But it would certainly be a lot better. But we have too many stupid and selfish people. I can't take it anymore. People go, if you don't like it, leave it. I can't. There's nowhere for me to go.
I can't.
The deal is also that we have a large country. We also have 50 states with their own laws, with their own governances, and their own ideas on how to tackle this. And you also have some states that are not as crowded. You have some states that may be more stubborn. So that's what you're going to get just due to the nature of our country. You know, New York is going to be more stringent. Florida wasn't. Now they're starting to get the point. You know, North Dakota, maybe a wolf has a cough. All right, fuck that.
Yeah, but you know what? Listen, man, we argued about it when it was happening, and we were on opposite sides of it. But it's played out, man. We should have just had a fucking mandate, a federal mandate. That would have been the deal. We'd be ahead of this. And I understand not every state was going through it at the time, but we knew this shit was going to spread. We saw how Asia handled it. We saw how Europe handled it. Rwanda has handled this better than us. Fucking Rwanda has handled people from Rwanda can go to places we can't go now. We can't go to Canada. Fucking Canada. We can't go to anymore.
Yeah, there's some good news out of this.
Listen, just because they rode you out of there on a rail.
Go back to where you came from. They don't want me.
Okay. Well. Okay. Yes. Anyway. So. Yeah, I've been dealing with that. And then just a real quick observation. I don't want to get too much into Portland and what's going on there. But they're just an opposite. If you don't know what's going on in Portland, there's a federal force of some sort. We don't really know what it is. Providing law enforcement, maybe, I don't know, it's very vague, which is the problem with it. But anyway, Second Amendment people, the gun people always said, at some point, the government's going to come around and round you up, and you're going to want to be armed. And I was always the one to go, no, that's not going to happen, that can't happen here, you know, that's ridiculous, blah, blah, blah. You know what, I was fucking wrong. I admit I was wrong, I never thought I would see the day. But it is interesting that when the 2A people are actually right, they got nothing to say. They imagined in Texas Jade Helm, which was a complete hoax. They were all up in arms all up in arms about Jade Helm in Texas. But now when the stuff's going down in Portland, they have nothing to say. So it's
Here's the deal. It's not exactly a craft fair that's going on there.
No, that's not the point, Joe. That's not my point.
No, the point is that they tried to set fire to a police building. They set dumpsters on fire. There's been recklessness there. They've been graffiti all over the place. They closed several blocks. It gets to a point where this has got to stop. And if this is the way you're going about it, it's not like it's a random thing where they just, it's an everyday thing, and they're doing it. There's a situation there that's got to be resolved.
Right, but if you listen to the locals, if you listen to and the local media that was there and the people that live there, it was dying down until a week ago, till the Fed showed up. And here's the thing. These people who are, and I don't want to get into this whole Portland thing, but these vague people in camouflage from unmarked agencies, they don't have the training to de-escalate. If you look at New York, the NYPD, and now listen, I know there's been some missteps, but by and large, if you look, for instance, at the NYPD, how they handle protests and riots and when there's large mobs and everything, if you look at them, they know how to de-escalate. They know how to disperse. They know when to give people their space. They know when to allow them to blow off steam. And they know when enough's enough, we got to crack down. Because they've been trained. The NYPD, and like I said, I know there's been missteps, but they also know how to funnel people. Listen, you can't do it over here. You can't be screaming by the federal building, whatever it is. You have to go over here. And you will see, whether it be a sergeant, a captain, a chief, you will see them out in front, and they will be talking to whoever is leading the protest, some vague person who's at the front of the line, but you will see them. They will have a discourse. Listen, here's what's going to happen. I hear you. I understand you. You can keep doing this, or you can't keep doing this, and there will be a dialogue, and way more often than not, a peaceful resolution is facilitated where nobody gets hurt, the police are not attacked, the protesters are not beaten, they get their point across, the police maintain peace, and we reset and we do it the next day. And again, Seattle was not that.
Boy, that's Sandyland. Oh, man.
No, that's what happens.
And there's a unicorn there that's going to gallop around, and everybody's going to pet him, and then everything will get resolved.
That's what we've seen. That's what we've seen. You're criticizing the way the NYPD has handled all the protests they've had in the past decade?
And number one, I criticized the way de Blasio was handcuffing the police.
We're not talking about that. We're talking specifically.
Also, in Portland, who is taking command in Portland? Is anybody taking command of the situation in Portland?
Well, I don't know. Apparently the mayor is.
The mayor? Well, she's doing it. Well, they're doing a bang-up job.
Listen. I don't think you want to stand on the platform of leaders that are doing a bang-up job. We wish Ms. Maxwell well. Let's not do that. I don't know enough what's going on. I don't know enough what's going on. What I'm saying is, we don't know enough what's going on there. We do know what's going on right now is not working, and the locals say it was getting better. Listen, I think the Portland police could have done better. They might have weak leadership. I'm not saying they don't. I don't know. But this is not working. This is political. But anyway, the reason it's not working is, first of all, they weren't invited. They're federal troops usually have to be invited. There are circumstances where they don't have to be. But it is clear that this force does not have the training that many of your big city police departments, whether it be New York or Los Angeles or Miami, wherever, these police, they get this training. If you talk to any police officer, whatever the situation is, the first thing they want to do is de-escalate. Then there's more and more training into de-escalation. Why do they want to de-escalate? Well, it's safer for them, first of all, and it's safer for the person they're talking to, and it's safer for the general public. And they are taught how to de-escalate. They are trained how you talk with somebody. You know, it's the same thing when you got a jumper on a roof. They are trained how to talk to that person and get them off the roof. You don't have somebody who's never
been. Any of these agents beaten anybody?
Yes, they. You didn't see what happened
with
to
batons.
The Navy vet.
Going.
The Navy.
Enough of this bullshit. Enough. They should have called in the National Guard weeks ago. Okay.
So wait a minute. So you're fine.
So we're taking steps to get it in there. Is a step in the right direction.
But it's not going to get the desired effect. And they beat a Navy veteran unprovoked.
Who gives a damn?
Well, that's the problem.
Half of these people are fucking children anyway that need to be taken care of. Daddy needs to come in and slap them on the ass and tell them enough of this shit.
But that's not how due process works.
Yeah.
You don't just go in and start beating people.
I've had enough of this whole Black Lives Matter bullshit.
Well, there we go. I told you.
It's filled with children that don't even have a knowledge of what's going on, and it's not. And I'm glad they're stepping in, and I'm glad that they're trying to sidestep some of this horseshit.
So, just for the record,
do you happen to be wearing a brown shirt right now?
Yeah,
and that's another thing. When you speak out against it, and you're branded a racist. Half of them.
No, she wasn't branding you a racist. She was branding you a Nazi.
So
the black people should just shut up and mind their manners so that you could be more comfortable.
No, the black, what the black people people should do is go is take care of their neighborhood. Stop black on black crime. Work on the family unit. Work. Go to their politicians and say we want better education in the schools. We want this bureaucracy that are in the schools to stop. They need to take their own steps to solve the problem, and they don't.
Do you remember, Pip, do you remember all the times Joe has spoken about all the white supremacists who commit crimes and their parents and not being a strong parental figure at home and letting them go down this ideology? Do you remember all the times Joe criticized them?
But the whole thing is the whole, they're not addressing the key problems. They won't address it. They won't address it.
Actually, Joe, defund the police.
Don't want to address it.
Defund the police. Is that defund the police actually does want to address those issues. Defund the police, which we've all said is a horrible name, wants to put some of the resources that goes into policing into things in the community to address some of the, your concerns. So they do want to address it.
It matters that the community itself has to explain all the black-on-black crime that goes on. All the people that have been shot.
What about white-on-white crime?
And the percentage of that is a way more than, unfortunately, if there is a police violence. And what another thing on that is if you are a policeman on the beat, a lot of the people that commit the crimes fit that M.O., and they're trying to get a handle on that. Sometimes they get a little out of hand, but that's the thing. Why don't they work on working on getting the crime rate lower, policing themselves, trying to get the neighborhoods under control?
Because
they won't do it. They haven't done it because they don't. And the Democrats love that because the Democrats know that they're going to vote and vote them in again and again and again. Because the Democrats that have been in these communities for decades have done nothing to help them. And they won't help themselves. And it's easier for them to go against the police and say, well, it's the police. Well, there was 261 black people that got killed at the hand of the police, I believe, in 2018. Thousands got killed on black-on-black crime, okay? But they don't address that, and they don't work on the keys to get that under control. And another thing is to get all these disenfranchised white youth to get on board because they're all pissed off that nobody wants to hold their hand, so we'll jump onto this bandwagon. The message has been lost, and the violence that goes in with this has taken away the message on that. And finally, they're getting steps to get this all under control. And a lot of this is due to the whole COVID thing. People are bored. They're sitting around the house with nothing to do. And now, you know, everybody's going losing their mind on this stuff. They want to get out. They want to do something. Here we can go. We don't have to wear a mask. Because God forbid, if somebody says I'm wearing a mask, you're a racist. You know, you got to see this whole thing. I know you're laughing. I know you're smiling, but you're not seeing the truth.
Well, Joe, I mean,
there's a lot to unpack there.
There really is, and I don't have the time.
One of the things is that what we were originally talking about is that you have people, and we don't know who they are, which is the frightening thing. We don't know if they're police. We don't know if they're military. We don't know who they are.
We don't know who's in charge. We don't know who the chain of command is. We don't have supervision over it. So you can print.
They're not identified with a uniform that you can tell this is who this group is.
Yes.
I mean, camo doesn't tell you who people are.
No, this is third world stuff.
People going around and taking Americans off the streets and putting them in vans.
And remind them.
That's what we were originally
talking
about.
And there was no charges.
It sounds like it's a craft fair. You know, we're going to walk at some booth. Hey, look, maybe we'll get some potpourri out of it. And the van pulls up.
Then charge them with the crime.
I didn't say that.
No, nobody said that. But Joe, if you're going to take somebody for vandalism, charge them. If you have footage or you've seen them do something or you saw them loot or you saw them assault somebody, charge them. Nobody has an issue with that. We do have a problem when they just snatch you off the street, drive you around for a few hours, don't tell you what the fuck's going on, and then you know they release you. That's not how our policing works. That's the issue.
If you're an agitator, it's going to make you think twice.
But policing does not work in intimidation. That is third world dictatorship stuff. That is not how America operates.
If you got the leadership of a city, that's not saying, I wish they would do it in New York. If you are the leadership of a city and you're not going to use your police force and you're not going to, you know, and the situation is getting out of hand, they set fire to a police building, they set fire in dumpsters, there's graffiti all over the place. You want to know something? If you got to send some people in, going to ask questions, got a little van, going to give you a ride, so be it. I have no problem at all with it.
So you're fine with authoritarianism if it meets your ideology.
I feel with authoritarianism, if I pronounce that right. Don't give me trick words, please. I am fine with that if there is a sense of anarchy that is not being addressed and refuses to be addressed by the politicians.
You have anarchy if the people who are hired to enforce the law do not enforce the law. They become the anarchists.
If they're not enforcing the law, but when they're being handheld by the police, by the powers that be over them.
So Joe, why couldn't the police arrest the looters?
Because I don't think that and like I said, this is just what I'm thinking. If it's the same situation as New York, I don't think that the mayor or the politicians are giving them the authority to do that. Portland is a very liberal city, and I don't think they're giving them the authority to do that. Now, your post, I think it was a four-block area that this was going on.
Four blocks.
Four-block area. They've taken over a four-block.
No, it's not
area.
Seattle. It's not CHOP. It's not. They didn't. They don't spend the night there.
Domain. They take it over a four block area. Okay.
So disperse them.
Where is the police?
I don't know. I think you got some shitty policing there.
They've been handcuffed. I think, no pun intended. I think the police are handcuffed in this situation.
You know what it is? You know, I gotta say another thing. It's gonna be very unpopular. I'm tired of police whining about they feel underappreciated. Fuck you. Most of us feel underappreciated in our job. Right now, it sucks to be police. And I still appreciate the police. Believe me, I do. But enough with our feelings are hurt. Are you a fucking snowflake? Are you law enforcement? You are the only... Let me finish. Let me finish. They are the only citizens that are licensed to take the life of other American citizens. They're the only ones. And with that comes great responsibility and great expectations. And when you fuck up, and you really can't fuck up, as Chris Rock said, police and pilots, you really can't have a bad day. I'm sorry, that's the gig. And I'm the first one to say, if that's the gig, the police should be paid a lot more money for it. Because there's a lot of responsibility. And I'm the first one to say, this society pushes all the stuff they don't want to deal with onto the teachers and the police, and we need to take responsibility for ourselves and stop shitting on the police and the teachers. I'm the first one to appreciate good police and good teachers. But don't give me, oh, I don't feel like doing my job because you don't appreciate me. Then fucking resign. Resign. Because you know.
No, but you're talking about, you know, you make up the snowflake thing. The police are getting harassed. They're getting shit thrown at them.
Yes, it sucks.
But still, you got to understand, it's not RoboCop out there. They're human beings, and the human beings have feelings, and sometimes, you know, that human element gets in there.
You know what? If somebody throws something at a police officer.
Davin, you've complained that you've gone to a club and you've had to deal with hecklers, and the club staff doesn't even sit there and try to help you, okay? And, you know, and he's like, they don't help. Nobody is supporting the police.
But, okay. Jonah, here's the difference. I still do my job to the best of the ability. My ability. There are too many times, we're hearing too many, and from police, I've been told, where they're just like, you know what, it's not worth it. We're just pulling back. No. Listen, I understand right now, and we've had police on here, you feel like the government is against you, but part of that's on you. The reason the people are against the police is part of it is because we've seen too many people who should not have been killed. But the real reason, I think, behind it is the cover-up. Too many times we have seen, oh, no, that's not... The police will give one side of the story, and then, like, months later, the video will come out, and it's completely the opposite. People are fed up with that shit. Listen, man... Not really.
In a sense, since the police have been wearing body cams...
Right, but that's it, yes! But they should... Yes!
They're not...
But, Joe, how many times, and we saw it in Louisville, Kentucky, with the guy we talked about like a month or so ago, the guy who would always feed the police, mysteriously the body cams were shut off. Too many times the body cam. I was talking to my NYPD friend about this today. The best thing the police could do is have those body cams on all the time. It'll help them, help society. As soon as something questionable comes out, release it. Listen, because if it's a gray area, say it's a gray area. If the police fucked up, say the police fucked up. If the police did the right thing, say that. But show us. Don't hide it. Don't disappear. Show us. And if you show us the vast majority of the time the police were in the right, you will win over the trust. And if you show us when the police were wrong, they will be prosecuted like anybody else for a murder or for...
The vast majority of the time, the police are right. Think about how many arrests are made in this country every day. Compare that to the situations of police brutality. I don't have the math. But I would hazard a guess that the percentage rate maybe is at 0.00.
Whatever the rate is... And although you're hearing people say, well, you're hearing people say, no, this has been happening for years. You're just now seeing it on a video. But I don't know the math either, to be fair. But back to the Chris Rock point. It's a job where you can't have a bad day. Listen, we've talked about this before. Joe and I stroll into the club. We have a bad night. You know what? We ruined a fucking audience's night for a $15 cover and a two-item minimum. Nobody gets killed. That's just the reality of it. Well, Joe and I are non-essential workers. We have a bad night. Yeah, we're going to deal with a pissed-off club and some pissed-off patrons, and we're going to feel like shit. But that's the end of it. Nobody's dying if I go on stage. The only one dying if I go on stage and eat my dick for 45 minutes is me. I'm the only one who's dying, and nobody feels worse about it. But a job like a police officer, where we're giving you so much responsibility, you can't have a bad day. And like I said, I know it sucks. I know it's unrealistic, but that's the gig. Listen, that's why the good cops should get $200,000, $250,000, whatever it is a year. I'm all for it.
But the cops right now are trying not to have a bad day, but they have their hands tied behind their back.
Listen, man. Well, listen. I'll give you an example of how I think policing is changing. I was talking to my neighbor who's a new police officer, and how they're trained now. And this is brilliant. I'm sure it's been going on for a while. But when they're confronting somebody in a physical altercation, they are taught pressure points like martial arts, where you could control somebody. And the beautiful part about controlling people by their pressure points, it doesn't matter the size of the police officer, and it doesn't matter the size of the suspect. Whatever the size is. So if you have somebody like me, you know, who's like 5'5", and I'm dealing with like a 6'2" suspect, if I have a mastery of the pressure points, I can control that person and get them into a prone position where I can handcuff them, do what I need to do, and I won't be risking their life, which is very important. That's where the training's going. So they know there's an issue. I just can't take the people that are defending it. We know we have to do better. I'm all for the police to go, listen, we know we have to do better. We're working to do better. And listen, they need to get that message out. They need to go into the communities. And I know they do go into the communities. And I know they do meet with community leaders. Right now, you got to do it more. You got to go. Listen, our buddy Detective Dave, he was always in the community. My town, where I grew up in, is the fifth safest city in the country where I grew up, and I joked on Facebook because I moved out. But no, I mean, we've talked to Dave about it because they were so involved with the community policing. They were so involved. They were so wanted to have a police force that represented the community by ethnicity or sexual orientation, where they were relatable. They were so available that they are trusted, that they can have that low crime rate. It's going to take a lot of work, and it sucks for the good police. But I posted on Facebook a couple weeks ago, in Chicago, there was a sergeant who revealed two other police officers essentially killed a suspect in the back of the squad car, and there was a video of it and everything, and he reported it. So what happened? The guy who reported the sergeant was terminated. That's what happened. So we had a good cop doing the right thing, and he's terminated. We've talked about it before. We got to get rid of that culture. I'm not anti-cop. I'm anti-bad cop. I'm anti-protecting bad cops. Just like I'm anti-bad cashier, bad pilot, bad cop. You know, you guys know me. You know I can't stand when people suck at their job, especially if I have to intervene and help them do it better. So it's not like I'm picking on the police. I just stop excusing it. Let's acknowledge that they have a really fucking hard job. Let's give them the tools to do it safely for themselves and for the public. Let's build the trust. Let's do the fucking work. But like I talked about last week with COVID-19, America doesn't want to do work. We don't want to do work. That's why we push it.
A lot of these events take place in high crime areas.
No, they happen everywhere, Joe. They happen everywhere.
most of them are in high crime areas. You have a couple of random things.
So you know what? Pay those cops more. And I've talked about this. There, you should get rewarded for being a cop who doesn't have incidents. You know, like if you go a year without a complaint against you because, and you're in the community, boom, give that guy a $10,000 bonus. Let's reward the good cops. Let's get the bad cops out of there. Let's do better screening. Let's do more personality testing. You know what? Let's get more of these college graduates, and not because they're any smarter or better. They just have a different world experience because they've seen more things. Let's start getting cops that are 30 instead of 22 because they have more world experience. They've seen more things. And I know they get cops that are older. But there are different ways to change your force to try to bring out the best. And they should be rewarded. And they should be celebrated. But the reality...
Out of all the police departments, let's take all of the police departments in the United States. And all the patrol, all the officers on those police, what do you think the percentage of bad cops would...
Well, Joe, I'll tell you. Obviously, I don't know. But my issue is not the bad cops. I think where we go to a higher percentage, then we should move on to some fun stuff.
Well, I guess there should be the bad cops.
Well, no, hear me out. The bad cops, listen, you're going to have bad people in whatever business. There are people in our business who are rapists, Joe. We know this. It's coming out. You are going to have bad people as comics. But where I really have the issue is the people that protect the bad cops or protect the bad comics. And that's where we have the high percentage.
The ratio of that would be?
I think it's high because we know of this culture. We know of this culture. We talked about it with Dave. That culture exists, and Dave was not one of those guys, but that culture exists where, you know, they protect each other. It can't be that way, man. If you're a bad cop, it should be your duty to report a bad cop. And that's just the way it is. And that's how this is going to turn around. That's how you're going to win the trust back in the community. That's how the violence is going to go down. That's how the people verbally and physically abusing cops is going to go way down.
I don't think the violence is going to go down if you don't adjust the culture that are in those communities.
One of the things that people are hoping for and trying to push for is to have money put towards other groups. I'm going to say social workers. I know that social workers get a bad rap because everybody thinks they're all touchy-feely and nicey-nicey.
No, they got a hard job.
They're very hard jobs.
Low pay,
and
high stress.
Mental health professionals, because we have a huge mental health lapse in this country, and part of the thing that police officers have to address too many times is a mental health issue rather than an actual crime situation. So you have a lot of other support groups that are being underfunded that could really help policing, and that's
so
what...
If you've got a guy throwing garbage pails around the 7-Eleven, are you going to call the social worker in to reason with him?
No, here's what you do. You have the social worker, and the police there. You have the social worker there to try to de-escalate, calm the person down, find out what's going on, because that's their training. You have them there, and then if it gets out of control, you have the police as backup. But you're going to have a lot less confrontations between mentally ill, and a lot less physical confrontations between mentally ill and the police, where nobody wins, if you have somebody who's trained in that profession, their working point. Yeah, listen, like I said, it's unfair to ask the police and the teachers to clean up society's mess. It's too much. Police should be there to deal with crime, not mentally ill people. It's just unfair. I mean, you know, and we see it in the schools where families need social workers, but a teacher has to deal with it. It's too much.
Yes.
It's because our country is lazy. And it's not a generational thing. If anything, COVID-19 has showed us being lazy is not a generational thing. It's an American thing. America rests on the laurels of past generations that made America what it was. And we like to cover ourselves in their glory. Well, you know what? It's time for, and myself included, it's time we all pick up the mantle and create our own glory. We have to do the job. We have to do the work. There are too many problems in this country that we're asking too few. One percent of the population is military. I've said for years, Everybody should have to donate to society, whether joining the military, social services, work in a hospital. You know, everybody, like, if you donate, like, 2 years of your life to doing something like giving back to your country, your nation, which provides you everything, we'll pay for your college. We'll pay for a four-year degree at a state school. Make it worthwhile. We'll have a more invested society.
The Army? Doesn't the military do that?
But that's just one branch. Yes, the military does, although there's been issues with the GI Fund. But I'm saying not everybody wants to go into the military. We need other things, too. Let's put people in those areas, too. Listen, I would not be very good in the Army. But I'd probably be a very good social worker. I'd probably be, you know, good in hospitals.
Oh, you'd be at the firing squad in no time, yeah.
Yes, uh-huh.
Well, one of the things that I was talking about, I mean, and I want to talk about your example about the person throwing away the garbage cans. See, this is a mental health issue. If we had the underpinnings of programs to help people who were mentally ill, which is like far too many people are just left to their own devices because there is nothing. When they let the asylums loose, terrible things were happening to people. But when they just opened up the doors and said, no, we're going to close these down, they left hardly any place to deal with these people.
That was under Reagan.
That's why you do have homeless people and the guy going nuts in the 7-Eleven. If there were places to help them, if there was structure in society to help those people, we would have far less people throwing garbage cans around in the 7-Eleven.
Another instance.
I don't know if they want help, and I don't know.
Well, they're sick, Joe. They need help.
Help on them, and I'm not arguing here. I'm just.
They're sick.
They're sick.
They need help. No, you can't. Listen. You can't help everyone. Noted. But again, we're talking about trained professionals who might be able to steer them in the right direction. Same thing with dealing with the homeless.
And that's a good idea, but here's the deal. You have trained professionals, but if they don't want the help, and if they're adults, can they be forced to get the help? And I think that might be not the whole problem, but certain situations where the problem is, where they're of their own. You know, because I know people that have to deal with people with mental issues besides you two with me. But I go besides that, I think they try to help. But they're of legal age. There's nothing I can do to.
And there's there are unreachable people, absolutely. But there are people that can be reached. Same thing with the homeless. We don't need our police dealing with the homeless. You could get social workers, you can enlist the clergy. There are certainly people that can walk up to homeless people and go, listen, it's cold out here, let's get you a meal, maybe we can help you, what's wrong? You don't need the police doing that, and they shouldn't be asked to.
But a lot of them, and once again, I'm not being combative, I'm just trying to bring up an issue to discuss. A lot of them don't want to go to these shelters because they feel like they'll get robbed there. Feel like they're getting beaten.
Now you're pointing to something where maybe we do need police. Maybe we do need a police officer.
But now the cops are in.
No, listen to me though. What I'm saying is maybe we don't need a police officer working point to deal with the homeless person. Maybe there we could do a social worker, clergy, something like that. But maybe we do need police or security at these, the homeless shelters. Again, I don't know
if they're.
Yeah, at the shelters. Maybe that's where. And I don't know if they have security. But yeah, I've heard those stories too, where women get raped, people are beaten, robbed.
And they're afraid to go. They don't want to go. But now, I'm not saying, I hear this when I hear the interviews, like on the cold night, they're like, well, why don't you go? Well, I'm afraid I'm going to get robbed, I'm going to be beaten. And also, I don't know if they want to help themselves. Now, with that, and you brought up the point, yeah, Joe, there are people that can't be reached. But I'm talking about the ones that they try to be reached, but they don't want the help. Should there be legislation in situations that they have to be helped? Are we overstepping our bounds as an authoritarian system?
Well, honestly,
going in on that? Bring up other issues on that.
I don't know what the law is. I mean, we used to throw people into what they called insane asylums. I don't know what the law is on that now. It's a good question, but I'm just talking about the policing. I'm just talking about how we... I'm talking about what we should expect the police to do and what we should not expect the police to do. And we're just running off examples of where the police should not be the first point of contact. It's not the best use of their skill set, of their talents, of their training. And a lot of times they don't really have extensive training in that. So again, I'm not shitting on the police. I'm trying to solve a problem. But you can't solve a problem if everybody goes to your defense of, how dare you, you're anti-police, you're anti-social worker, you're anti-black, you're anti-this. No, I'm looking at problems. And it's like, let's solve this. And this can be solved. And this all comes down to, and then we're really going to move on, because I want to talk about something kind of fun. The issue.
I think mental illness and policing is lots of fun.
Well, when you bring it up, it is, dear. But especially your mental illness.
That's fun.
The issue is, and Joe, I don't think you understand how deep this runs. Unfortunately, a lot of people in the black community do not look at the police the way we were raised. We were raised to look at the police as, if you're in trouble, go to the police. They're your friend. They'll help you. That's how we were raised. We, you know, white parents, white parents, white parents. That's how we were raised. If you listen to black people, that's not how they were raised, because they saw abuses that never went reported. They saw their fathers or their brothers singled out for being black. There's too many of these stories to ignore. So they are brought up with this distrust. That's the reality of this shit. We could deny it, or we can try to solve it. And that's
where...
There are instances
due to the to effects in the black community where there are gangs, there is a lack of a family unit, and
yeah, but Joe, what you'll hear them say, you keep on...
Situations, there are people that are of suspicion.
You keep on bringing it. Hold on. You keep on
day out.
You keep on bringing up the family unit, and what they will tell you is, "Yes, Joe, you're right, because too many of our people, our fathers, our mothers, are in jail for a lot longer for small crimes like possession of drugs. They'll go away for 10, 15, 20 years, where a white person won't. So, yes, you do have these broken families, and that's where you have.
Why are you in that situation?
I don't know, Joe. You do drugs. You've done drugs. Why do you do it? I don't know. Why don't I ever do drugs? I don't know, man. People have predilections to shit. I don't know. But the reality is...
Are they doing drugs because they don't have a lack of education? There's not programs in the schools to keep them away? They're not doing drugs.
I don't know, man.
It is because of the family unit. There were things there. That's the ingredient.
Why do you do drugs? Why do you do drugs, Joe? I mean, I don't know. I said, why do you do drugs? I've seen you do drugs. People do drugs. I don't know why.
You know why? A lot of people do drugs because they're self-medicating, because they have mental issues that could be helped if we had some kind of mental health support and social workers. That's why.
Well, Kanye's going to fix that. I saw Kanye's first presidential speech.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Let's start on that.
Kanye has it under control, my friends.
First is going to be a dance routine with chicks shaking their ass. That should start every conference, everything.
Keep going. Yeah, you have me hooked.
That calms me down.
You know what? I was dismissing him, but if this is going to be part of the campaign, I'm certainly willing to listen.
It's like, okay, this is...
We need girls shaking their ass.
That's a pretty good platform.
There'll be an ass in every bed. There'll be a booty in every bed of the Kanye platform. Hell to the fuck to the yeah.
Kaylee and Kellyanne go out there, shake a rat.
But listen, so... But in closing, yeah, man, you need good policing. There are issues in every community. But you got to be willing to do the work. And America has shown with COVID-19 and in so many cases, we just don't want to do the work. So you're going to have people whining, why is this? Why is that? Why not this? I just laid it out for you what could make all this better. What could get the police, what could help the police so their job is safer? What could help the communities so their job is safer? I just laid it out so the police get the respect that I feel good police deserve, that they deserve, so that citizens get the respect that we all deserve. I just laid it out for you.
All these Democratic politicians that are in those cities that are with Black Lives Matter, what have they lifted a finger to do anything?
Listen. I mean, you got to go city to man.
Well, they're taking advantage of the situation.
I don't know if it's taking advantage. I don't know the ins and outs of those particular cities and the politics. You know, I don't know who's genuinely trying to help the citizens and who's just there to collect the paycheck and get reelected. I'm sure you have some of that. I'm sure of it, and I'm sure you have people that want to help, but they don't have the resources. I mean, listen, it's not like. And then this is another thing, and we'll get to this in one of the stories coming up, but a sheriff who we're going to be talking about says, yeah, our budgets have been cut. Yeah, that happened a lot because of the Tea Party. When the Tea Party cut, they wanted all the budgets cut. So that's what a lot of that is. Yeah, they do have big budgets. And again, I've always been the one, Joe and I have been disagreeing on this, I've always been the one, raise my fucking taxes if you're going to give me shit. If you're I have a great school system. I pay for it in taxes. I'm okay with it. I have a fairly safe community. I pay for it in taxes. I'm okay with it. I will give you my money. I will give you more of a portion of my money if I'm getting a return on it. Now, if you're not doing dick with it, I got a problem. If you're gonna waste it on a $500 coffee mug, we need to have a conversation.
And most of the time it's wasted.
Well, I mean, you got.
Came in, and if you cut the budget, maybe if you cut your budget,
no.
To do more with less.
No, cutting the budget doesn't work. What happens with cutting the budget is the Gavones still take fucking more than they should.
What happens is you make it too expensive to live. Let me tell you something. We have a conversation over the weekend, and a lot of us are looking to get the hell out. Because in New York, it's becoming unlivable. It's just becoming unlivable with the taxes and everything. And it's all wasted.
Where we live, where the three of us live, we pay for the proximity to New York City. Now, if you're not going to take advantage of all that New York City has to offer, then by all means, you should probably move out of this area. You can even move further upstate to New York, and it'll be a lot less. Yes, in this area, we get killed on local property taxes. There's no doubt about it, and our state taxes are high, everything's high, because we're paying for New York City. So, but for your career, Joe, unless you're going to become a road comic, but for your career, New York City is important. For Pip's career,
possibly not. I'll bring a perfect example of that. If I wasn't in the career I am, we never would have met. I wouldn't have been here. We met in 97. In 96, after Joanne and I got married, we went to go visit my buddy Frank down in North Carolina, and he built houses down there. And he showed me this house, and he's like, Frankfurt, I'll build a house like this for $215,000. And I'm like, Frank was a roadie with me with the band for years. And I go, Frank, I'm still in the business, man. I can't. So yeah, that is a consideration.
That's what we're paying for, man. We can't bitch about. I mean, we can bitch about it, but we have the option to move. But let's be honest. Do you really want to move to Florida? I mean, I know there's no state income tax in Florida. Do you really want to live in Florida? I don't. Look at that COVID infested shithole. Thank you, no.
I just shat myself at the idea.
Yeah. Do you really want to rub elbows with Florida, man?
But maybe North Carolina.
Sure. Absolutely.
And let me tell you something. When I was house hunting, Joe's girl and I were going around, and we were asking people, "Oh, why are they selling the house?" Why they said all of them moving to South Carolina, moving to North Carolina. The woman I bought my house from has a son who's a police officer in Florida. She didn't want to stay another summer. You wanted out.
Yeah, listen, I mean,
people are fleeing here. Now what happens to the tax base when everybody starts to flee? Where are they going to get the money from?
As long as you have New York City, there will always be a place to get the money. Don't you worry. Don't you worry about that. New York City. New York City is the biggest city in the world. It offers so much. We pay for it. So it goes back to the reason people move away is when they retire, their job is no longer in New York City or the surrounding area. So they take the money they've made and they move someplace cheaper. And that's smart. And that's fine.
Yeah. And like I said, with the city, I remember my dad brought me to the city when I was five. And I remember when he brought me up out of Penn Station and I looked around. I still have that sense of wonderment every time I walk out of Penn. You know, it's an amazing place. But it gets to a point where, all right, enough is enough. And, young people, how could young people make it moving in? And also in the suburbs of Long Island, where the school taxes are so high, how is a young couple going to afford to live here? And a young couple has children. Children go to the schools. It seems that there's got to be a little bit more control.
Well, listen, I mean, the reason I live where I live, because I couldn't afford the county where I grew up, which is one of the most expensive counties in the country. And, you know, and it's expensive where you live, too. And now it's expensive.
Hey, look, where I lived in Huntington. I grew up there. I wanted to stay in Huntington. I can't stay there.
That's tremendous. Hold on. That your volume for that little bit was tremendous right there. Whatever that was, do that. You were nice and loud and clear. Move the tinfoil, whatever the fuck you got going on there. But that was tremendous. More of that.
But still, like I said, everybody, with the exception of Anthony, because Anthony's a millionaire, he can live in Nassau County. But all of my friends grew up in Huntington. We're all out here out east. On the island, we're all, you know, within 10 to 12, 15 miles of each other. We're all out here because that's what we could afford. That's the taxes we could afford. It's half of what it is than 23 miles to the west.
Now listen, I'm pretty sure people listening do not give a shit about our tax thing. So let's move on. We all live in an expensive area that we really can't afford to live in. Let's just leave it at that. And
you guys live in a metropolis, and it's not fair. Boo-hoo-hoo.
Yeah, I mean, really.
I know, right? We pay dearly to live by New York.
Nobody gives a shit about our problems when it comes to that.
The free world, and it's expensive.
Listen, it is what it is. You know, listen, I would move away. I'd move out of the country. I would move out of the country. My family does not want to move out of the country.
Where would you go? You're going to Paraguay? Where are you going?
I had not thought of that. Maybe.
It's fucking random.
Maybe. I don't know. Where would I go? I would consider Canada. I would consider the Bahamas. I would consider certain Scandinavian countries in Western Europe. I mean, you know.
It's cold.
What?
Go to the Bahamas. It's still cold in Scandinavia. Go to the Bahamas.
Well, I can't now, Joe. They won't let us in.
Well, I see when they let you back in. Tap your foot. Wait, go.
Listen, I would, but my family does not want to move, so I'll stay. But you know, it's not that I don't love this country. I love the country, but I realize I can have a better quality of life someplace else. And I'm all about.
I got a place, Ghana. You know the people there.
Then they love me, Joe.
you know your way around town.
Let me just call a Charter Entertainment over there, and I will get some Charter House.
Every other week he's getting offers to move there.
I will be the Mooga with the mic. all right, so a little bit of not interesting, whatever, and then we'll move on. We'll get to Pip's big announcement next week. But the good thing is Pip's online. That's the important thing.
I'm trying. I just got the computer yesterday, and I'm finding that there are little glitches. Like, my old computer knew all my passwords, and this thing knows nothing from me. And I'm like, do you think I remember this shit? The other computer had half of my life in it. It's like, ugh!
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. With the iPad, I'm at a gig, and I go to turn my iPad on that has all of my the patch settings and stuff like that in it, and it goes, hi, let's get started. What?
Let's get started!
Yeah, that's so, I mean, out of the blue, the thing will screw me. And luckily, I was able to get through, but I'm like, let's get started. There's no getting started. We've already been acquainted. I'm fucked. I have a band going on in 5 minutes.
I know. This thing is, it's really annoying. It was looking like, oh, wow, this is so convenient. I'll set that up. No, doesn't work the way it says it was going to work.
Yeah,
and,
yep.
Yeah.
I'm glad you have a computer. We'll talk about maybe more about that next week. Just real quickly, found out my school district, if the infection rates stay where they are, about in this ballpark, we will be opening schools in September on time. Schools will be open. It will be part in school, part at home learning. They will go every other day. They will have distancing. They're gonna do stuff with the school buses, lower capacity on the school bus. So I just thought that was interesting that this shit can work. And the reason why my kids' school will most likely be open is because we did the work. You can't just wish it. You just can't wish it to happen and make it so. And we'll talk. I have a good School of Fools next week with the Missouri governor. I didn't want to add a story when I saw this. So we'll talk about it next week. But you just can't wish it to happen. And it goes back to what I've been saying. We did the work. We social distanced. We stayed in place. We wear the mask. Our kids can go to school. Now, of course, parents are bitching.
You guys, you got to understand something about we did the work. I mean, it's not like we're in Idaho and we heard about what's going on, and it's like, why don't we start doing something because, you know, just in case. We don't work that way. We had no choice.
Well, Joe, we had no choice, but neither does Florida, neither does Georgia, but they don't want to. They don't want to do the work. They're where we were. We were the first. They had the benefit of seeing how bad it was for us, but they thought it was a blue state problem. They thought it couldn't happen to them, even though all the scientists and doctors said, no, this is coming. It doesn't know any borders. It doesn't know blue state, red state. They had all the information. They chose not to. They still choose not to. So that's why I'm saying we did the work. Yeah, we were faced with it, but we did the work. What's that? What is that?
What is what?
No, Pip's got something. A skull? What are you doing?
Yep. Well, that's what happens if you don't do the work.
Oh, okay, Gallagher. Thank you.
What kind of a fucking creepy house do you live in? There's a purple wall that's so... It looks like there's algae on your light switch cover.
Good God.
Yes, welcome to the house of creepy.
What, does she live in a fish tank show? Algae or...
I'll be your hostess.
I don't know. What the hell do I know? I'm looking at it as a Zoom thing. I look like algae. What is it, actually?
It's actually semi-precious gems that somebody glued onto the light switch.
Yeah, all right, when I rob your house, I know to take the cover plate. Maybe get a couple of bucks at the jewelry store. You'll see me on Porn Stars. What do you got here? I got Pip's light cover switch. Fly it off in a screwdriver. What do I get, $5?
Probably.
And the other thing is, I just found out last night, I got a softball game this fucking Wednesday. I thought we weren't playing softball. Softball.
How's it work?
I'll find out all the regulations on Wednesday, 15 minutes before the game starts, which is when you want to find out all these important regulations, of course. But like in the league, you have to share bats because they won't let you bring your own because I guess people cheat and whatnot. They have different quality bats, so you all use the same shitty bats. So after every at bat, you got to clean the bat. I don't know. I still haven't decided if I'm going to wear a mask when I bat and on the bases. I haven't decided if I'm going to do that because I will still be kind of close to people. Now, my mask, it does protect other people, obviously, but my mask is a homemade mask by my sister-in-law, so it actually has like a 5-layer filter in there. So it not only protects other people, it protects me. But I was just like, wow, I get to be outside, see people that aren't my family run around and do shit like I almost used to do. It's like,
yeah.
But again, and I'm so excited about it. You know, before the show, I ran to the cages. I'll go to the batting cages again tomorrow and everything. But it's
tell me more about being outside.
Well, I haven't been going outside. But again, goes back to we did the work. You know, I didn't think this was going to happen. I just wrote off the softball season. Usually we start in like June, beginning of June probably, maybe end of May. So I kind of thought the softball season wasn't happening. But here we are mid-July. It's because we did the work. So I guess the message is to the other parts of the country, just do the work, man. To like petition your governors to crack down. Suck it up. Deal with the hard times. It will pay off. And when you come out through the other side, you're still going to have to wear a mask, but it's not so bad. Slowly you will start getting a more normal life to what your life used to be before COVID-19. And I think people just have to wrap their head around it. It's like, this is the new normal for now. You can't deny it away. You can't conspiracy theory it away. This is just the normal, so embrace it and do the best you can, and good shit will happen. You know, hopefully next year, Joe and I get to go to that concert that we were supposed to go to this year. I don't know if it's going to happen, but hopefully we do. And if we do, it will only be because somebody somewhere did work, whether it's a vaccine, a treatment, or because New Yorkers did so much of an effort to get the curve way down that they can let us in by just testing us. But it's going to be because of work. Life is harder now, so you can deny it. Or you can do the work and maybe have a better life. So that's why I'm bringing that up. I'm looking so forward to something that's so
almost normal. And listen, I don't want to play ball with a goddamn mask on my face. Fucking sucks. Got to listen to them.
When are you playing softball?
Tomorrow night at 7:15. That's when I'll be contracting COVID.
All right. Why don't you do this? Bring another mask with you and bring a bucket of water with you. And this way you can soak the mask in the water. It's supposed to be hot, another hot day tomorrow. So, you might feel more, I'm not being a dick. I'm my pal. I'm telling you. I'm sincere, stupid.
No, I'm not denying it. It's going to be very schwitzy.
Whenever you talk to him, I'm being serious.
He is being serious.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not arguing with you. It's going to be very schwitzy, but here's what I have to deal with. I have gained a couple of LBs since last season, and water tends to make things heavy. You know, I can't lose another fucking half step. It's bad enough I eat like a fucking Gavone. Now I'm going to have a weighted mask? Oh, chance do I have, Joe.
Well, I hope you've been hitting the weights and that stuff, because you're going to be, you know, you might screw something up. You're not a spring chicken anymore. You're an old guy.
I've been working out. Yeah, I've been working out. I haven't stopped.
Bunch of knees and stuff like that.
I've been working out. Yeah. I've been working out for 3 years. The problem is I eat badly, but I've been working out for 3 years. Strength training, muscles.
Have you been running?
No, I do. We do other cardio things. We do other cardio. A lot of high intensity.
I'd run around the block tomorrow a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I'll do in 90 degrees. That's what I'll do. I'll run around the block.
Yeah, you know, No, don't run around. Just to see how much you can push yourself. It's going to be hot. Tomorrow, they're in your neighborhood. It's going to be on that field tomorrow night.
Trust me.
Don't wind yourself. Don't sprain yourself. Whatever.
Oh, I'm getting hurt. I'm getting hurt. It's just a matter of when.
I still run around like I'm 30. My body has its way of suggesting to me that I'm 58, even though I'm a denier. But,
I feel great. The only thing that ever hurts is when I lift weights, my lower back hurts. And then when I stop lifting weights, it feels better. But, you know,
it's funny how that happens.
No, I get.
I'm just telling you, you're going to turn a play or something like that, and you're 45, and you're going to so just make sure you're limbering, you warm up before the game.
I stretch every day.
Right.
I lift. I do cardio. Underneath the shell of this body, I'm in good shape. The problem is I don't eat properly to keep the shell in good shape. That's my fucking problem.
Whoa. I thought we were on this diet where we were all eating nice up there. What's going on?
No, I haven't ate nice in a while. I mean,
really?
No, I mean, here's my metabolism is.
You're going to have that. Your wife is making this. We're going to have steamed vegetables and all this.
No, not for a long time. No, not for a long time. Still working out like an animal.
He hasn't been talking about that kind of stuff for a while now.
It's like the time we went on tour and we like, look, on this tour we're going to eat healthy and we're going to make it go. But there wasn't a shred of lettuce on that whole fucking nothing.
But most diets start with really good intentions, and you might be gung ho for a while. But the problem with diets is that they're you can't live like that forever.
Well, you can.
Temptation happens.
You can. I don't.
But kill me.
Yeah.
Kill me.
I like foods that's bad for me too much. That's what it is. But I work out like a beast. I'm in good shape. I've just my metabolism's slow and I eat like shit. That's the problem. Thank God I work out.
Were you on the keto diet?
No, I've never done keto.
All right, because I think Joe Cumi was on the keto diet. My boss, you remember, it was my boss that you met at the gas station at one time? He was in yesterday and he was saying that he's on the keto diet. I go, well, are you sticking with it? No, I love it. I go, yeah, because that's what the trick of it. You got to stick. You can't deviate off of it.
Well, that's the problem. As soon as they change the lifestyle, they blow up again. I've done diets and everything. I just got to eat differently, but I'm working out. Like I said, I do all sorts of exercise: legs, core, abs, arms, back, chest. I do it all. I've been doing it for 3 years. It just doesn't look that way. I don't like to show off.
Just limber up, because you could sit there all day Schwarzenegger, but you go to turn a play and you're not limber up. You're at the point now you're going to hear something creak.
Oh yeah.
And you're going to be
But there's nothing I can do about that. Because even these finely tuned athletes, which I am not, but even these finely tuned athletes, they pull something running or jumping, whatnot. It's going to happen.
Sure.
Listen, hopefully I'll get through the season, all right? Maybe if the season's only 3 games, I'll be fine. Who knows? But I just can't wait to play something good.
I'm sure you can. There's nothing like a little bit of normalcy. Like I said, I've been going out to eat, you know, in social distancing at restaurants and stuff like that. Also, I went to Starbucks, and I was offered a drink. And I can't understand why people sit there on that line to get into that place. They just sit there and sit there. I had a Frappuccino Sunday. I'm all in. I will sit online now. It is one of the most delicious things ever created by man, and now I get it.
I haven't had a Frappuccino since high school or college. Because they're terrible for you, but they are delicious. I will give you that. But there's nothing. There is nothing good in there for you. Oh, okay. I won't have the whipped cream. I'm being healthy. Nah, you're still fucked.
I don't have them anymore either. But they're amazing.
They're very good.
I took a sip, and Joe's goes like, "What do you think?" And I go, "This is a problem. It's a fucking problem."
Did you roll up a 20 to take that sip, Joe?
Basically.
Yeah.
I know.
Is it delicious? I go, it's beyond delicious. It's like fairies and magic. And
yeah, there's the unicorns you were talking about.
Who knew? We just need to give Joe a Frappuccino.
Carvel ice cream soda. And I go, no, because it's a little bit more refreshing. But on taste, this Frappuccino is
unbelievable. Well, Joe, welcome to 1996. We're glad you discovered this new treat.
Well, things take time.
I understand.
I totally understand you, though. That's why I haven't had one in a really long time. But, they're for a special occasion.
Yeah, you treat yourself.
I can't understand that people drink them every day. It's like, are they taking a walt out of your house to get you out of it?
Let me tell you something, and you know my patience level for stuff. I will go on a Sunday and wait on a 10-car line, knowing at that end of that 10-car line is a Frappuccino.
Wow.
Oh no, he's done for.
Joe, I don't know if you just heard this. I just got an alert on my phone. Part of Joe Biden's platform is everybody that votes for him gets a Frappuccino every Sunday.
There you go, Joe. Still not doing it.
I think we got you. Still not doing it.
Still not doing it.
Oh please!
Oh shit! I'm in.
You were in anyway.
For me, he's not the better choice.
Okay. Well,
one of the really quick. And I know we talked about this last week, but one of the reasons is I don't think he can control the radical left. Now I was listening to some insight today from Alex Castellanos, ABC political commentator, and he said, "Well, if Biden goes up just once." And says the radical left is bad, and I'm not going to listen. He goes, he could, you know, probably win it, but I still don't think he's going to have control over them.
Well, all I can tell you is there has never been an instant anywhere in Biden's career where he's been considered radical left. That's why he's just never been that. He's moderate, milquetoast, middle of the road. Everybody knows our pal Joe Biden. That's what he is. He's not radical left. He's not AOC. I know the right wants him to be.
Listen.
Trump is trying everything to smear Biden. But the fact is, you can't smear vanilla. Vanilla's familiar and delicious. You can't smear vanilla. Biden is. That's why Biden's the right guy for right now. In a different time, no. But he's boring as fuck. People want a warm sitz bath. We're tired of the fucking hot tub. We just want a warm sitz bath with some Epsom salts to fucking chill out for 4 years. That's what Joe Biden is.
They just should have him with clips of his rambling speeches and go, "But he's boring as fuck."
Yes.
Yes.
Biden, and I like vanilla.
Yes. Swirl's a little too much. Swirl is a little too much. Forget about that rocky road. Not going to have it. Too much nuts and marshmallows. Yes, that's what Joe Biden is. That's what he is. And that's why people on the right who voted for Trump are like, all right, enough with this fucking tweeting 50 times a day. We get it. You're bored. Melania won't talk to you. I told you a year ago. He wore out his welcome. People are just tired. People want a president that they don't hear from all the time. I want my president to check in with me every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks, let me know my president's alive.
Anthony Cumia brought up on his show that Trump has that problem. He goes, you remember every other presidency? You'd hear that. Like when you said, he goes, you hear from him every 2 weeks. He played golf on Wednesday. He's going to sign his bill. You know what the hell he's up to.
Right.
Right. He's worn. Listen, man, I've said it before, and we really got to move on. I equated it to sports. Well, Pip and I are Yankee fans, but Joe is certainly familiar with Billy Martin nonetheless. Billy Martin was a great Yankee manager. He was in your face. He was aggressive. He had great strategy. But Billy Martin would wear out his welcome very quickly because he was too much. It was the same thing with Bobby Valentine with the Mets. Bobby Valentine was a great manager, great strategy, very smart, led the Mets to some of their greatest success. But after a while, it's too much. And that's why you bring it down a notch.
I got to tell you, when he came out in the dugout, because he got thrown out of the game and he came out in the dugout in a disguise.
I remember that. But that's why you go from like... But that's why you go from like a Bobby Valentine to like a Terry Collins or a Willie Randolph. You go from like a Billy Martin to I don't know. There was like a Gene Michael
or Bob Lemon.
Yes, because it's like, oh my God, we just dealt with this insanity. We have to get off the ride. That's Trump, and Biden is Don Lemon. It's like not Don Lemon, not fucking Don Lemon. Bob Lemon. That was the manager. Don Lemon. Oh. Fuck you. But that's what it is. Trump has wore out his welcome. Even people that like Trump, they're like, can't you do something? Isn't there something you could be busying yourself with? Donald Trump felt that the answer to Donald Trump's sinking polls was more Donald Trump. That is not the answer. The answer for Donald Trump's problem is not more Donald Trump, especially given scientific information. That ship has sailed, Mr. Irrelevant. Nobody gives a shit about what you have to say anymore. Just move on. Listen, if I was running that campaign, I would fucking hide the press room. I would fucking spin him around like it was pin the tail on the donkey. Go, Mr. President, we're going to play a game. No, you're going to like this. Let me spin you around. And you're going to walk, and at the end of the walking, there's going to be big tits that you can feel. But we got to spin you around. And that's what I would do. I would fucking sneak whores into the fucking, in the back room of the White House.
All right, hold on. If you like a friend, the show, tell everybody. Davinson is over. Get in the plane. Get out to Washington now.
Boy, I'm helping. I'm helping.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's what I would do if I was managing this guy. Go, listen, yes, you're going to give your press conference, but first, tits.
Like I said, during the other press conference, is what I would do is when Fauci got done and Pence got done and Trump got up there, I would open the door a little bit, and then I'd put a hamburger out in the spring. And then I'd start to pull, what is that? Is that a hamburger? Yes, Mr. President. Well, okay, I'm going to let Mike finish up, and pull it, and he goes behind his door.
Well,
look, believe me, there's plenty of times I sat through the press conference and go, just say thank you and bring Pence up and go behind the door. You guys, there's a problem only you can solve, all right? Go behind the fucking door.
Listen, the reality is, with COVID-19 at this point, most of America, by all the polls, doesn't trust him. He's irrelevant. He's taken himself out of the equation. I don't want to go through it again. We go through it every fucking week. He's taken it out of the equation. You know, listen, if he wants to do the press conferences, have Fauci. What's going on?
He's clapping to turn his lights on.
I had to hit the clapper to turn the light on.
Oh, Christ, I blink 1 minute and I miss you fucking engineering your whole apartment house over there. All right, whatever. But yeah, I would definitely solve the Trump problem with tits. That's what I would do. And don't worry about Biden with being far left. He doesn't have that in him. There's nothing radical about him. Joe's gonna sit down, give you a hug, a friendly hug, and hear about your problems and share his hardships. That's gonna be your Joe Biden. He's not. You know.
I just get a funny feeling. AOC and Sanders are gonna be in the Oval Office. And meddling, and Joe Biden's gonna be. Want to hear a story from '63? Oh no, thank you, Grandpa. You know?
Listen, obviously you're gonna get more left stuff as Biden for president. But I'll give you an example. Biden never said defund the police, let alone abolish the police. That's a left thing. Oh, Biden never said that. Trump wanted to say he said that, and Chris Wallace said, nay, nay, he did not. Good job, Chris Wallace. But no, Biden's not that guy. That's what I've been telling you. The far left has...
I think he could be... There's more radical left, boy, are we really getting into this?
No, there's not that much radical left.
The time when
I'm
he
worried
had,
about, I'm so worried about
the time when he had to go to left was in the primaries. That's when he. That's when they're supposed to go to
But in New York, more of the far left got elected career Democrats, and I think it's starting to be a wave of something happening. And I don't think Biden is the person that could really.
Joe, it might be happening, and they're not happy that Joe Biden is the nominee. They're not. That's the problem the left has, and I've told you this, and I wish you would believe me on this. The problem the Democrats have is the left is not excited about Biden. That's the problem they have.
Oh yeah, by no stretch of the imagination.
Right. So,
yeah,
but
they're not.
But the Trump strategy, among many strategies that they've tried with Biden, is to put it out there that he even said the other day his bosses. He's just trying to create shit. That's never been Joe Biden. He's not a radical left. Are you going to get things that are more left than you would under Donald Trump? Yes, I'm not going to lie to you. Are you going to get AOC's politics? Absolutely not. Are you going to get Bernie's politics? Absolutely not. You're not going to get it. Dude, he has John Kasich speaking at his convention. Fucking John Kasich, Republican governor, Republican candidate in 2016. John Kasich is not far left. John Kasich is very anti-abortion. I mean, how far left can you be when you're dragging John Kasich to talk about you? It's just unrealistic. So if that's your reason, rest assured. And listen, if it does go that way, I'll be the first one to go, Joe, I owe you an apology. I was wrong. But it's not going that way. It's not.
Yeah, same.
It's not going. That's not this guy. That's why.
I hope it doesn't.
It won't.
No.
You know what you're going to get, Joe? You know what you're going to get if the Dems get the House and the Senate and Biden wins? You're going to get fixes to Obamacare. That's what you're going to get. They're going to go back and fix the issues with Obamacare, and hopefully it'll be better before. You know what you're going to get? You're going to get rejoining the Paris Convention, which I know you're not a fan of, but that's what's going to happen. Hardly a radical left thing when even our allies that are run by conservatives are part of the Paris Convention. That's the type of shit you're going to get. The type of things, those type of things that Trump did. Are you going to get more regulations on some things like the oil industry? Yes, you're going to get that. Are you
environmental regulations?
Are you going to get a 90% income tax on corporations? No, you're not going to get that. Are you going to get the tax the 1% up the yin yang? No. Are their taxes going to go up? Possibly.
What about New Green Deal?
No, you're not going to get that. You're going to get global warming, dealing with global warming, but that's where the world's at. We're the ones that aren't dealing with it, but that's where the rest of the world's at. So you're going to go back to the Paris Accord. You're not getting the new Green Deal. You're not getting that shit. Are you going to get an investment in wind and solar and hydro? Yeah, probably, but that really shouldn't have been a political thing. Dealing with that stuff was never political before. Daddy Bush dealt with climate and everything. Under Daddy Bush, we regulated to get rid of acid rain. So that shouldn't really be political. Nixon started the EPA. It's a new phenomenon that the Earth is political. So yeah, Joe, you're gonna get some of that, but you're not getting AOC's version of it. It's just not going to happen because that's not this guy, and this guy knows why if he wins, he's getting nominated. He knows why he's going to win. He knows it's going to be the middle left and the middle right, and people fed up with Donald Trump. That's what it's going to be. It's not going to be a hankering for AOC, because if it was, he never would have gotten the nomination, because he's the least AOC out of them. It would be Bernie. It would be Elizabeth Warren. It would be somebody like that. And you saw.
So basically, like I said, Alex Christianus was saying this morning, he needs to go out. He said at least once. But even if he does go out at least once, he's got to make it damn well clear.
But here's why he doesn't. Here's why he doesn't. Because the Trump voter isn't going to switch sides anyway, and he would just alienate the people on the left that are going to hold on the far left that are going to hold their nose and vote for him. It's a bad political strategy. He's not going to get.
You know what, though? I think, though, you said that you're a disenfranchised Trump supporter. Like I said, I don't feel he's a guy. But if there is a guy that's on the fence about it, I think a disenfranchised Trump supporter would need to hear something like that, to hear it from Biden going, I'm not going to let the far left lead me to some of their policies.
Here's why you're going to get the disenfranchised Trump supporter, and it's very simple. COVID-19 and the fact that they don't have a job. That's why they're gonna go. They're gonna do the old Ronald Reagan adage: "Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago?" The answer is no. And they realize Joe Biden was out on COVID-19 in January talking about this being a big deal. They realize, if they're really paying attention, most of them are not. But one of the members of Trump's financial team warned him in September that a pandemic could ruin the economy. They realize that this guy has been behind COVID-19, and they're going to go enough. That's why. They're not looking at AOC and the far right and Hannity and shit. If they're going to swing over to Biden, it's going to be like, you know what, shit is not working out for me right now. I need to switch it up. That's what it's going to be. They're not looking deep into the far right and far left, because, you know, the people that went from Obama to Trump didn't switch because they wanted Trump's politics. They just didn't want Hillary. That's what it was. They wanted something new and different, and that's what this is. They just don't want Trump. That's why Biden will win. It's because people don't want Trump. We've seen the show. It's exhausting, and a lot of people think it kind of sucks. That's what it's going to be. But yeah, seriously.
We'll see.
Well, of course, but I mean, really, if that's the one thing holding you back, if that's the thing, don't let it be the thing. Because this guy's never been far. He gets fucking killed for being on the wrong end of segregation. They go back to the 70s on this guy, and that's where they kill him. Kamala Harris killed him on busing. Far left, not fucking left enough. No, but I'm saying
running mate is going to be key as well.
Listen, running mate, you know, you're voting for the guy. Yeah, well, he's not. It's not going to be AOC. Kamala Harris, again, not left enough for the people, because she was a prosecutor. You're not getting AOC as a running mate. You're not getting Bernie Sanders. You might get Elizabeth Warren. But financially, she was right. I know you don't like her, but financially, she was right, and she protects your interests more than what's going on now. But I understand. You're probably going to get Val Demings. You might get Kamala Harris. You might get Stacey Abrams. Yeah, I mean, you're probably going to get somebody like that. You're probably going to get an African
woman. Just out of curiosity, you think probably percentage? What's your percentage on if it's going to be a woman?
97%.
Yeah, I would say so.
And I don't think it's going to be like Sarah Palin, where they open their mouth, and go, "Oh, what the fuck were we thinking?" I think they probably would have
learned from Sarah Palin. I mean, Sarah Palin is an asshole.
No, but what I'm saying is, I think you're going to get somebody who you might not agree with on the issues, but you're going to have somebody who you go, all right, this person's intelligent. Now, they're going to try to AOC this woman, because AOC is an intelligent woman, and they try to make her look like a dummy, and people bought into it. But she's actually a very accomplished young lady. But you're not going to be able to do that to a Val Demings, who's been a police commissioner and is a congresswoman. You're not going to do that to Stacey Abrams, who's very accomplished, or Kamala Harris, who's been a prosecutor. And if you ever listen to her on these hearings, the Senate hearings, oh my God, is she fucking smart, and can she prosecute a case? You're not going to make her look stupid. They're going to try, but
Now would you feel that they would be swayed by the far left?
No, it's not happening. I think AOC will have a seat at the table. I think she will have a voice. I think that's part of coming. I think Bernie will have a voice. I think if they weren't there, you probably get things will go to the left more. With Bernie at the table, but you're not going to get this far left stuff. It's just not going to happen.
Because a talking point has been who he picks as a running mate is very important. It remains to be seen, but there are rumblings that, you know, maybe he might not make it to the full term. And whoever is going to be the vice president is going to set policy.
No, he has said that. He has said he wants to pick somebody who can take over immediately. That's what I'm saying. You're not going to get a dummy. You're going to get an accomplished female, probably an African-American, accomplished person who has done a lot of things in their life. That's what you are going
right.
to get.
And the consideration along with that is if they're going to be swayed by the far left.
It's Biden's call, man.
...of a VP is going to be more important than it has been in years.
Well, Joe, if he wanted to just go to the far left, if that's what this was all about, he would have already announced Bernie Sanders or AOC is the VP choice.
Right.
That if you want to get the far left on board, you fucking get their nipples hard and get them moist with AOC or Bernie. They're not even considering it. Will they have a voice? Yes, they will have a voice at the table. Might Bernie be part of the cabinet on something? Possibly. I don't know. Will he? But it's not going to be this far left wing utopia that all the libs, you know, get real excited. It's just that's not this guy.
It's not happening.
It's just, and that's what that pisses them off. And I understand Trump.
It's going to be important, you know, to be the devil's advocate. It's going to be a point of It's going to be important to him when he pokes his head out of the cellar. At least one of those times, he's really got to emphasize that.
Again, I don't think he does. I think he's going to play up the left right now because he needs them to come out and vote for him. I think what's going to happen is he's going to play up the left during the campaign to some extent more than he has now. And what's going to happen is same thing that happened with Obama. The left is going to be fucking disappointed. A lot of people on the left were disappointed with Obama. He wasn't radical enough for them. And if you talk about people on the right, you talk to people on the right, Obama was a communist. You know, and that's just what it's going to be, man. Biden's going to have a lot of disappointed liberals after 4 years. That's just the way it is. But really, his job is to get America back on course, you know, where we could go to places like the Bahamas again. Biden is a stopgap. Trump was a crazy ride. Hey, let's see what happens if we hire this guy. What's the worst that could happen? A lot of people took that ride. Some people are still on board, like, go again, go again, go again. And a lot of people are like, I feel a little queasy. I need to get off this ride. I mean, that's what it is, man. I mean, this has been different. This has been very abnormal, and honestly, I've been saying it for a long time. America just wants normal right now. If it was a crazy left wing person that was president, you know, let's say Trump was a Democrat, and then you had Kasich running against him, you would have people running to John Kasich right now because John Kasich would be normal. It's like, all right, he's just a quiet guy. He can do the president thing, and I can go back to my life and not. Yeah. Yes, that's what America wants, and that's people are tired. Yeah. People are tired of this guy. They don't trust him. They're tired of the nonsense. They're tired of people going to jail. They're tired of it always. They're tired of, like, we're going to have a coronavirus press conference because it's going to be in a great time slot and great for ratings. They're tired of that shit. That's what he said. People are like, okay, you're going to have the corona press conference. What are we going to learn? How is it going to get better for me? What can we do so we can open up my restaurant again? How can I go back to my bartending job again? How can we open up the schools? How can we make it so I don't have to wait 8 hours for a test? That's what they want at the coronavirus press conference. That's what America wants. It's not some radical thing. We want fucking sanity. And sanity doesn't have to be left or right. We just want somebody who we feels our pain. That was Bill Clinton's thing. He felt our pain. That's what we want, man. And you've said it yourself. This guy doesn't feel empathy. Biden is the right guy at the right time because he's nothing if not empathetic. Oh, you stubbed your toe? Let me tell you about the time I stubbed my toe and lost my family in the process. Biden is not a perfect candidate. He's not an exciting candidate. He's just the guy for right now. That's what he is.
We'll see.
Yeah, I know. That was a lot of heavy shit I did not want to talk about. All right. Enough. I'm going to take a quick break. God damn it. We got shit to do. It's going to be a long show. Palette. What?
You got to cleanse the old palate.
Oh, my God. There was a lot there. This show used to be fun for people. I had fun, but I don't. Whatever. What are you going to do? All right, on the break.
I got to tell you, just a quick story.
Oh, here comes another 20 minutes.
No, when I left, we had the little spat, and I went to go do the Dick Eldorado thing. Mm-hmm. I had an agenda of stories, kind of what we do. And I remember Mark, the owner of Governors at the time, looks at me at a break. He goes, is anything, any of this shit going to be fun? I get it.
Well, I mean, I think some of the stuff was fun, but it was certainly a little heavier in segment one. But in our defense, we're not going out and confronting people right now. Nothing's fucking happening. We're not going anywhere. That's the problem. When you unleash us into the world, we can get ourselves into scenarios and shenanigans. It's just not happening right now. Let's hope something crazy happens at softball tomorrow. Let's all the listeners to the show, let's hope something really fucked up happens, aside from me getting hurt.
I'm worried about you.
You should be.
Break something. I think your meniscus is going to be a problem.
Wouldn't be the first time, but I play through. I play through. All right. On the, this is a really short break because it's a short song. On the break, Danky Sagali and Vincent Price featuring Inca with Super Dancer. And you can learn more about them at khb-music.de, khb-music.de. When we come back, we'll start off with comics and the news. And-